Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. Despite advances in modern medicine, two epidemics still seem to be growing, those of prostate cancer and of asthma. Now there are some provocative new studies that link these diseases to exposure to tiny amounts of pollutants. One study finds low-level exposure to the chemical bisphenol A, found in some plastic bottles and some food cans, can promote certain prostate cancers. That study's just been published in the journal Molecular Cancer Therapeutics. The other study indicates tiny amounts of pesticides and PCBs that mimic estrogen can stimulate the process of allergic reactions, most notably asthma. That's reported in the current issue of Environmental Health Perspectives. Joining me now to talk about this emerging research is Dr. Pete Myers. He's the chief scientist for Environmental Health Sciences, which publishes the online journal Environmental Health News. Hello, Dr. Myers.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Good. Now, the first study we're going to look at, the researchers for this one found a link between certain environmental contaminants that mimic estrogen and allergic reactions, including asthma. What's going on here?
Well, the big question out there is, why are so many allergic diseases increasing? Asthma's increasing, allergies to things like peanuts is increasing. It's really an epidemic of allergic disease. And scientists have been looking for clues about what could be driving this. And this new study shines a very bright light on one possible explanation. Our immune system depends upon estrogen signals to adjust how sensitive it is. A little bit more estrogen and your immune system becomes a little bit more sensitive. And so what these scientists did was ask a different type of question. They recognized that there are actually chemicals in the environment that behave like estrogen. And so they began to perform a series of experiments where they took cells from mice and from people, and they looked at the effect of exposure to these estrogenic chemicals on the sensitivity of the cells' immune systems. And lo and behold, they found a very, very strong effect.
So what kind of environmental contaminants are we talking about here? Where are they found, and how do they wind up in our bodies?
Well, these contaminants are a series of persistent organic pollutants, old pesticides, DDT, DDE, things that have lingered, been used for a long time in the environment, even though they're not being used now. But because they're persistent, they still make it into our food supply.
Now, why has it taken so long to figure this out? What is it about the effects of these chemicals that makes it hard to see this link between allergic reactions and these chemicals that act like estrogens?
Well, first of all, you have to think that the question is relevant. And it's taken a while for the scientists who work on these types of issues simply to ask about the potential contribution of estrogenic substances to allergic disease. But now that they've started asking the question, they've discovered a very interesting aspect of how these contaminants alter immune system function. What they're seeing is that really low doses ratchet up the immune system sensitivity, but that higher doses shut it down. And that type of dose-response relationship is both something that's relatively new to toxicology, but it's also one that's hard to investigate.
So, wait a second. You're telling me that if somebody was exposed to a lot of DDT, it wouldn't have affected their allergic response to something, but if it was just a little bit, it would?
Well, it isn't so much that a high dose wouldn't have affected it. A high dose would have shut it down. Think about the surge protector that you use for your computer. Your computer needs electricity, but if all of a sudden too much comes through, it shuts down the system. Well, that's the sort of thing that appears to be happening here. Our immune system has to be able to respond to the signals that the body naturally sends it. Those signals are taking place at really low levels. As they increase, the reactivity of the immune system rises. But if all of a sudden there is a surge that's unexpectedly high, the system shuts down. And that's what appears to be happening.
So that's very confusing for you doing research if you're just looking at the chemical and its effect. It's paradoxical. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
It is. It's been one of the great challenges to research in this area, and especially to how we go about establishing health standards. Typically, the toxicological tests that are used to figure out whether this compound is safe and at what level is it safe, they begin at high doses and then they work down until they don't see an effect. Well, if the chemical that you're working on at low doses causes an increase and at high doses causes a suppression, you're not going to be asking the right questions.
Dr. Myers, I know the study didn't look at this at all, but the asthma epidemic is really big in cities and really big among poor people. What questions would you want to ask as a researcher to link that prevalence of disease in those populations to what is being found in this research?
That's a great question, Steve, and all the science isn't in on the answer yet. But there are a couple of clues that we can take from this. One is that the biggest source of exposure to these things is dietary. Diets that are high in fat are more likely to expose you to some of the persistent contaminants that this study focused on. The other thing that science is pointing toward is the fact that cheaper grade construction materials often contain compounds that the science links to increased immune system sensitivity.
In other words, your house could be causing you asthma.
Your house definitely could be causing asthma. There have been some very interesting studies looking at the composition of dust in houses and the relationship to risk to asthma, and there are significant associations being found.
And so what does this research suggest? I mean, what's the big picture here in terms of asthma?
Well, the big picture is this. We know that we're in the middle of an asthma epidemic. And people have been struggling with the question, why are we seeing this? Why is asthma increasing at a time when, for the most part, air quality is getting better? And the answer this study suggests is it isn't that there's more pollution, it's that we're more sensitive to the pollution that's there. Our immune system is responding more strongly to the irritants that have been around all the time. It's just that we're more sensitive to them now.
Let's take a look now at that other study that considers tiny doses of toxic substances. And this is the one that links prostate cancer to bisphenol A, which is commonly found, in some plastic bottles and the lining of some food cans. Now, I understand that this study shows tiny amounts of the toxin can interfere with a common treatment for prostate cancer. How did they come to that conclusion?
What these scientists did was they implanted prostate tumor cells from people into mice, and then they looked at the effect of exposing those mice to bisphenol A. And what they found was that bisphenol A made the cells switch into a state where they couldn't be controlled by the normal way that physicians manage prostate cancer.
How could BPA interfere with prostate cancer treatment?
Well, normally when a guy has prostate cancer, it turns out that those tumors need testosterone to divide and grow. And that's a condition that's called androgen dependence. Testosterone is an androgen. So if a physician can either lower the guy's circulating testosterone levels or somehow make him less sensitive to testosterone using pharmaceuticals, they can keep the tumor under control. So what this new science tells us is that if the tumor is exposed to bisphenol A, it shifts. All of a sudden, it's no longer dependent upon testosterone to proliferate.
And how do you avoid bisphenol A? I understand it's in 95% of us.
It's in 95% of us, but not all at the same levels. I've taken one very practical step, which is I avoid canned food. I also don't use those wildly popular sports bottles that are made out of polycarbonate plastic. There are ways that individuals can decrease their exposures, no question about that.
Okay, so we've got this one new study from the University of Cincinnati that finds a link between bisphenol A and prostate cancer. And then we've got the other new study from the University of Texas at Galveston that we talked about earlier, linking some persistent environmental pollutants with asthma and other allergic diseases. So tell me, Dr. Myers, what do these two studies say about the chemicals we're being exposed to on a daily basis and our general health?
Well, they say two things. They say that the health standards that we have developed over the last 30 years are in the scientific Jurassic. They just haven't been asking the right questions. But they say something else which I find really encouraging. This science is telling us that if we pay attention to it and we start making both individual choices and societal choices about how we manage these chemicals and how we work to avoid exposures, we can probably prevent some of the diseases that heretofore we haven't thought were preventable. That's pretty exciting.
Dr. Pete Myers is chief scientist for the Environmental Health Sciences in Charlottesville, Virginia. They publish Environmental Health News. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Steve.
You can find references for this research and a link to the Environmental Health News site at loe.org.